Welcome to the Fab Lab Podcast, brought to you by FabricatorsFriend.com. If you own or manage a stone shop and would like to reduce your frustration while increasing your profits, you've come to the right place. As the owner of a prominent Pacific Northwest stone shop with over two decades of experience and the author of the book Less Chaos, More Cash, our host knows more than just a little bit about the challenges of owning and operating a shop. You'll hear down-to-earth, real-life solutions you can implement today to calm your shop operation and generate more profit. Thanks for joining us, and here's our host, Aaron Crowley.
Welcome back to the Fab Lab Podcast. I'm Aaron Crowley, and of course, I am glad that you are joining me for our third and final part of this series, How to Increase Profits by Reducing Mistakes. So in this episode, we're going to talk about checklists. I mentioned that at the end of the previous episode where we talked about the process. And before that, we talked about the deadly assumption and the change chain phenomenon. And so in the last episode, when we talked about the process, we have gone through the work of assigning the task to a position, defining the results that we want achieved in measurable terms and timing. And then we have provided a series of steps for the employee to follow in the form of a written order of operations. So that brings us to the implementation. I hand off this fantastic piece of work that I have created. I've gone to all the work to establish it, to assign it, to provide it in written form. And then what? What happens if the employee fails to refer to this glorious document that I have provided them? What if they misplace it? What happens if they make a mistake and they don't refer to it and the job gets all the way through production and we realize that, oh, the first time out of the gate they forgot or they overlooked it or they didn't understand it and we're right back where we started. Our expectations aren't met. We failed to perform the task correctly and on time. Now the customer's not happy and now we're having to redo something, which causes us enormous frustration and erodes our profits. Well, the fact is this, employees are human beings. Just like you and me. Another fact is this, old habits die hard. Here's another fact. Your employees are under stress. There is deadlines to be met. There is pressure. There are other tasks that they are responsible for. The reality is that learning something new and performing it well right out of the gate is a challenge. So we as owners have to resist the temptations to default back to our old thoughts about their capacity to learn, their potential for performance. We need to resist the temptation to fall back into the deadly assumption, the belief that they ought to just figure it out. I gave them the documentation. We need to acknowledge that there's another step that we need to follow if we are going to help our employees successfully perform tasks correctly and on time so that we profitably keep the promise made to the customer. And simply handing them that order of operations, that document with all that information it's a great first step. It's much better than having nothing. But if we leave it at that, we may find ourselves sorely disappointed. And that's where checklists come in. Checklists are incredibly simple, but they're not simplistic. They are profoundly effective at taking what we have delegated to somebody and increasing the likelihood that they are going to perform accordingly right out of the gate. So I like to use an example. Checklist is really leverage. And I have a 20-acre property that we live on that was overgrown and neglected, taken over by blackberries. And over the last few years, I graduated from a machete to a big brush cutting machine. And from there, I convinced my wife I needed a tractor with a brush hog. And from there, I was somehow able to convince my wife that I needed a bulldozer. And so I have a bulldozer now, and it is awesome. A, it's really safe. But B, it is so powerful. And here's the point, the leverage. That dozer probably has a 1,000-pound blade on the front end of it. I can mow down blackberries. I can knock over a small sapling bundle. I can rip a stump out of the ground literally at the turn of my wrist. You see, the hydraulic motor and unit on that machine exerts enormous power. And so when I push that lever, which engages the hydraulic system, which pressurizes all that fluid and causes that blade to operate with very, very minimal effort, I am able to exert unbelievable force and power. and I can accomplish things that with a machete or a brush cutter or a tractor with a brush hog, I could never possibly achieve. And the same thing is true with checklists. A checklist is a lever. It is extraordinary leverage that we as owners can exert to increase the likelihood that our employees will take that documentation that we have provided them and follow it. And so really, the other reality is this, is that we as owners, once we hand that information off and we successfully delegate the task, we don't have time over the first week and the second week and maybe the third week to stand over that employee's shoulder day in and day out, making sure that they don't forget to refer to the documentation, to the order of operations that we have provided them, referring back to the standards and the allowable variance that we want to achieve, following the steps that we've outlined in a specific order. We don't have time to stand over their shoulder while they adopt this new way of performing this task or where they learn it for the first time. So we use a checklist that, in a sense, operates like that in our absence. It allows the employee to, in a sense, be that person who double checks the work, making sure that they are following the steps that they have been provided, producing the outcome that we as owners have established and expect. So Ronald Reagan, when he was negotiating with the Russians in the 80s with the nuclear arms reduction program, he had a phrase, trust but verify. Same thing applies here. The checklist allows you to hand that documentation off to the employee, provide them with the necessary means to produce the outcome you want, but it gives you the verification mechanism. It allows them to provide you with the certainty that they are actually following the information that you have provided them. You don't want to hand off a new task to a Sawyer and then wait until the day of install, 6 or 7 or 8 or 2 days or 2 weeks later, to realize, oh no, the first day out of the gate, they didn't follow the steps because of the habits, because of the stress, because of whatever. You want to make sure that they follow it right out of the gate. So when we go to delegate a critical task to an employee who is filling a position that is now formally responsible for performing the task in question that we want performed correctly and on time so that we profitably keep the promise made to the customer, we need to also provide them with a checklist that they can fill out before they have completed that task and turn into us prior to starting the next task. So real simple. I mean, I don't want to overcomplicate this, because a checklist is a checklist. It is a series of steps that they are going to evaluate themselves. Did I cut the countertops to the templates according to the allowable variance? It's a yes or no question, requiring them to double check, put the template up on the piece, align it. Is it within tolerance? Yes or no? Check. Backsplash. Is it cut according to supplied information and dimensions? According to the allowable variance in the standard? It either is or it isn't. Are countertops on the proper carts and staged in the proper place, ready for the next stage of production? They either are or they aren't. After that, are the templates in the work orders assembled and combined and together and placed where they need to be for the next person in the process to find them and begin their work? Again, it's a yes or no question. It's either been done or it hasn't. So we establish in the checklist, based on the tasks that we want them to perform and the order that we want them performed and the standards we want them to meet, we simply summarize it in the form of a checklist that the employee then evaluates, fills out, and oftentimes catches things that they overlooked. Oh, wow. You know what? I accidentally forgot that I burned an inch on that backsplash. I cut it an inch long, or even worse, I cut it an inch short. Good thing I've got some scrap. I can put that piece back up. I can recut a new one to the dimension, the supplied information on the work order, and I can put that on the rack, as opposed to that piece of backsplash making its way all the way through production, being polished, being sealed, being loaded, being taken into the house, being set into place, only to find at that point that it's an inch short of the dimension that the measure up technician provided. The checklist allows the employee the opportunity. In effect, it doesn't just allow it. It encourages and, in a sense, forces them. Here's that minimal effort that exerts enormous force. It forces them to evaluate their own work, verifying that they have in fact followed the procedure you've provided them, met the standard that has been established, and successfully completed the task. And the last step in the checklist is that that checklist needs to be signed, dated, and then turned into their supervisor before they are allowed to begin the next task. Or if it's the sawing position, the cutting task, in a sense, they're not complete with the existing task until the checklist has been put on the production manager's desk. And if you want to know, maybe I'll post this on our Instagram. I'll post an actual picture of the checklist our sawyer fills out every time he cuts a job and is required to turn in before he goes and gets the next work order, the next batch of templates, and looks for the slabs for the next job that he has to cut. That is the trust but verify mechanism. That is the hydraulic lever on my bulldozer that raises the blade and mashes down blackberries and bulldozes over saplings and uproots stumps so that I can clear my property with minimal effort. That is the power of the checklist. When used in conjunction with the process and a documented step-by-step order of operations, the likelihood that your employees are now going to perform tasks correctly and on time, meeting your expectation, and equally important, helping the rest of your employees to successfully and profitably keep the promise made to the customer, it's instrumental. It's powerful. I am so excited sitting here just talking about it because it is like a lever. It is a cause and effect impact on your business. When you follow the process, when you provide and insist that your employees utilize checklists, it is an unarguable fact that fewer mistakes will be made, you will have less frustration, and at the end of the day, your company will be more profitable. So thank you so much for joining me in this third and final part of this three-part series of how to increase profits by reducing mistakes in your stone shop. I hope that you will take this to heart. I hope that you will spend some time digesting this and considering how you might, starting back at the beginning of the series, consider if you are falling into the deadly assumption and believing that there is some work that is so simple and obviously important that it need not be explained. I hope that you will consider visiting fabricatorsfriend.com, going to the process page and checking out some of our templates for documenting how you assign the position, how you define the result in the form of the standards, and how you design the operation, providing the steps. And I hope that then you will take this idea and put checklists into practice in your business so that you achieve what you are looking for as you run your stone shop. So thanks again for joining me. I look forward to being with you again on the next episode. So check back shortly and we'll talk with you then. Take care.